There were barely enough people to make up a minyan. We had never been to a Jewish wedding before, and we had no understanding of what to do. We mouthed the words that the rabbi told us to say without knowing their meaning. For the breaking of the glass, this we understood very well. We had one challenge, and the challenge was very clear to us. We knew that we had to get to Jerusalem. No matter what it would take, no matter how many years, we had to get to Jerusalem and build a home there. And this is what we did. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 296, 10 Teachings of Jerusalem, Faith in the Jewish Future. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. Some years ago, a very small Jewish wedding ceremony took place in an unusual location on a striking date. The celebration site was an apartment in Moscow. The date was the 4th of July, and in the Jewish calendar, 16 Tammuz, one day before the three-week period in the Judaic year when the destruction of Jerusalem is marked and mourned. The man and woman married in this ceremony were Anatoly Sharansky and his bride Natasha, later Natan and Avital. In his memoir, Fear No Evil, Sharansky tells us that the rabbi performing the ceremony had told them that the chuppah ceremony had to take place before sunset, before the three-week period of mourning began. However, a minyan, a quorum, had not yet been found. Sharansky writes, quote, "As the sun was setting, I frantically went out on the street in an attempt to round up a 10th Jew. Just then my brother arrived and we were able to begin," end quote. Of course, as the chuppah proceeded, the final blessing recited under the canopy, a canopy utilizing a very simple bedsheet, would have concluded with the following. "May it speedily be heard in the cities of Judah and the outskirts of Jerusalem, the voice of joy and exultation, the voice of groom and bride." Here, the blessing was particularly apt because, as I discussed in my Tikva lecture on Jeremiah, this blessing was particularly apt because Avital had her visa and would be leaving for Israel the day after the wedding, hoping that her husband would join her soon. Sharansky writes that he promised his new wife, "Before you finish learning Hebrew, I'll be there. We'll find an apartment and begin our life." She asked, "Where?" And he said, "In Jerusalem, of course." Soon after, he found himself in prison, and his bride launched a campaign that took her all over the world into the presence of presidents and prime ministers, seeking to attain the release of her husband so that he could come to Jerusalem and fulfill the prayer that was contained in the blessing at their wedding, that bride and groom would rejoice in Jerusalem. These words, which have concluded every Jewish wedding ceremony for millennia, were proclaimed by Jeremiah. These wonderful words of hope said at a particularly hopeless time when he was in prison, when his warnings were ignored by his fellow Jews and with the Babylonians on the brink of destroying the sacred city. Jeremiah spoke the word of God, "And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return and will build them as at the first. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, which ye say shall be desolate without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant and without beast, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the groom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord." So Jeremiah proclaimed, even as he was foreseeing the destruction of Jerusalem. And these words become part of the wedding ceremony, with every bride and groom proclaiming their faith in the restoration of Jerusalem. It's particularly striking to consider the fact that in another prophecy about Jerusalem's destruction, Jeremiah is told by God to take a piece of pottery and shatter it in order to illustrate the shattering of the city yet to come. And today, perhaps inspired by that biblical scene, a glass is shattered almost immediately after this blessing is said under the chuppah, thereby joining remembrance of Jerusalem's shatterings and destructions with a proud, faithful proclamation of Jerusalem's restoration. What this means is that the focus on both the past and future of Jerusalem becomes a fundamental part of every wedding. This is not only about placing Jerusalem above one's chiefest joy, though of course it is about that. Here, however, the meaning is also deeper. The bride and groom, remembering the many destructions of the Jewish past, make the point before all assembled that if they have the faith to found a Jewish family, to create another link in the Jewish people, it is because, remembering all that has gone before, they still have faith in all that is yet to be. This, in turn, teaches us another lesson of Jerusalem. It is the city that has embodied the Jewish faith in their people's future, one marked at every wedding. Thus it was, as several articles online reported, that when the Sharansky's faith was itself vindicated, and many years later, they attended the wedding of their own daughter, Natan Sharansky said the following, "I'd like to say something about why we are breaking this glass. 34 years ago in a Moscow apartment, Avital and I stood under a sheet held up by four boys for our own chuppah. There were barely enough people to make up a minyan. We had never been to a Jewish wedding before and we had no understanding of what to do. We mouthed the words that the rabbi told us to say without knowing their meaning. But the breaking of the glass, this we understood very well. We had one challenge and the challenge was very clear to us. We knew that we had to get to Jerusalem. No matter what it would take, no matter how many years, we had to get to Jerusalem and build a home there. And this is what we did." So Sharansky said, and then focusing on all that had been restored in Jerusalem, he charged the bride and groom with still focusing with faith on the future and on thinking of the joining of Yerushalayim Shalmata, the Jerusalem on earth below, with the spiritual Jerusalem Shalmala, the heavenly city above. He said, "You will make a home in Jerusalem, yes, but you must simultaneously have your feet on the ground, building a Jerusalem Shalmata, a physical Jerusalem, while always keeping an eye on the Jerusalem Shalmala, on what it means, on what it represents. It will be your mission and the mission of all your generation to defend Jerusalem, to protect her, to keep her safe. And I think that your challenge may, in the end, be even more difficult than ours." End quote. The role of Jerusalem in Jewish weddings highlights what it has always been in Jewish life in general, a beacon of Jewish faith in what was yet to come, and a reason, therefore, why, despite all the trials of Jewish life, Jews continued to mark moments like weddings and to celebrate them. The theologian Michael Wishegrad, who experienced Kristallnacht as a child and just barely escaped the horror of the Holocaust, once reflected at the end of an article that, quote, "Recently I attended the wedding of the daughter of a Warsaw Ghetto survivor to the son of another survivor. The blessing spoke of the creation of man in the image of God, of the joy of the childless woman whom God has made fertile and whose sons are gathered about her, and of the joyous sounds of grooms and brides in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem. There was great joy at that wedding. There was, of course, also the sense of absence of all those who should have been there but were not. They were not forgotten by any means, but the redeeming God of Israel was also not forgotten." And Wishegrad added that it is faith in the face of the horrors of the past that allows Jews to continue, or as he put it, that, quote, "if we can smile and laugh at jokes and satisfy our normal human appetites, if in short we have not gone mad, it is because we trust in the God of our fathers," end quote. To believe in all that Jerusalem embodies is to believe in God's love for his people, and to believe that therefore we ourselves can love and create families with faith in what is yet to come. One evening at the height of the COVID pandemic, various individuals went out to their own balconies in a larger apartment complex to sing a song together, even as they were separated from one another. Suddenly, those singing noticed that in a courtyard below, a small outdoor wedding was taking place. Immediately, they began singing a different song, lyrics by the incredible Israeli singer Yishai Ribo. The song titled Halev Shali, My Heart, is, as I understand it, clearly drawing on the image of Jeremiah, which proclaims God's word describing the journey from Egypt into the wilderness as a marriage between Israel and the Almighty. The lyrics are about the splitting of the sea, and Ribo contrasts that miraculous event of divided waters with the division of our own hearts, with the difficulty of faith and worship in times of trouble, and finding the solution in our own loving relationship with the divine spouse of Israel. Thus, Ribo reflects on the song, Halev shali nikra lishnayim, chetzio Hashem vechetzio l'shem shamayim, kamo sofa min hayam holem, kamo tupa shel miryam poem, ve'ein trufa ba'olam lalev. My heart has been torn into two, half guilty, half dedicated to heaven. Like a storm from the sea it throbs, like the Tiber of Miriam at the sea it pounds. And there's no medicine for my heart in all the world. So the translation, according, I believe, to one found online, goes. And then the chorus playing off the psalm of the Sabbath day. V'rak ata yechol la'afoch mispedi l'machol, l'zakech et achol, l'rakech bi akol. V'rak ata mevin eich lageshet l'alev shali, mishakech kol ke'ev shebi, mirapei et alev. And only you, God, can transform my mourning to a joyous dance, to make pure the sand, to soften all within me. And only you know how to approach my heart, to undo the pain within me, to heal my heart. So these Jews sang from every balcony, looking down on the bride and groom. And suddenly everyone was holding up their cell phones, lighting the night in the midst of the darkness, singing, yes, about the relationship between bride and groom, but also about the Jewish relationship with God, remembering that it is precisely at these moments of love that Jews have also traditionally proclaimed their faith in God's love for them, and their faith in all that is yet to follow in Jerusalem. This is Meir Soloveitchik, thanking you for joining me, signing off.